And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Want to introduce yourselves?
Sure.
All right, cool.
I'm Kate Vanderlinden.
And I'm Jake Vanderlinden.
And you do Beacon?
Beacon Performing Arts Center.
Are you you're not brother and sister?
We are not.
You're husband and wife.
Yep.
We are.
And you work together. In the arts,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
What could go wrong?
We are together every minute of every day.
Are you really?
Yeah. It's actually a great partnership, though, because we went to school for theater, right. And that's where we met. We met in college, Millikan University. And we are enough alike, but enough different that her skills are way different than my own skills. So it kind of works in harmony a lot of the time.
Yeah, the overlap is dangerous. And
certainly. And we were best friends way before we ever started working together. Mm-hmm. So we rely on that friendship, and it really carries us through.
Give me the time frames. Friendship, couple, work, or friendship, work, couple?
Friendship, couple. We got married and then work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How long were you friends before?
2 years?
Yeah.
3 years?
2 solid years.
Yeah,
We started seeing each other, and then Kate went off to she went to London to study Shakespeare, and during that time she became so worldly that when she came back home I was enamored, and I was like, we need to be more than friends.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that your jam? Is Shakespeare?
No. No, it was just a semester abroad where we focus on Shakespeare.
Oh, just an excuse to go to London.
Yes,
an excuse
to go to London.
Exactly right.
We saw like 50 shows. And then he left me for London the next year.
Awesome. It's not always her.
No. Yeah. But you got to play hard to get, you know? Right. Yeah.
Okay, was Shakespeare female? Do you know that theory?
No.
Oh.
No, there's a theory that... Because the Shakespeare is not Shakespeare. That picture is
yeah.
Right.
So the theory is... Shakespeare, the reason that Shakespeare was a pen name is because Shakespeare was actually a female. And they point to like Taming of the Shrew and all the strong female characters that he wrote or she wrote. And in those times, there wasn't a man on the planet that would have written a woman in, like Taming was like Kate. Yeah. There wasn't
right.
a person who would have written.
Or as strong as Juliet and Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
So the theory is that Shakespeare was a...
I like that.
Fascinating. Right. Yeah.
I mean, the other theory is that Shakespeare was like a bunch of different...
Right. Like people. Kind of the troupe itself and right. not it's really fair. One man.
But I reject that theory because the writing is so consistent and so good that like if it was just like improv and blah, 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 just sticking in the air, I don't think that could...
Yeah.
Am I wrong or...
No.
Right?
Yeah.
It has to be one person, I think.
Absolutely. And there was a pattern to it so that the acting troupe could memorize it so quickly.
Right.
Like, that's truly the reason why Shakespeare became so well known, is because he kind of cracked the code on the patter of the language so that his acting troupe could memorize it so fast. Yeah. And of course, it was heightened language because the queen was always arriving and Shakespeare was... you know, his or her playwright that she adored. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it does kind of make sense when you think about it. There were no
yeah.
other, there were no other female protagonists until really Kate, right?
Certainly.
So, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. So, what is the best thing you learned, the biggest thing you learned from doing the time in England with Shakespeare?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I would just, I mean... As a person, I think it was just like independence and, I don't know, being self-sufficient and like things like that probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean...
And what about you?
Yeah, we're both from the Midwest originally. Kate's from South Dakota. I'm from Iowa.
Where in Iowa?
Muscatine, Iowa?
Oh, I went to 4 years at Northwestern College in Orange City, Iowa.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
We're kind of on the
opposite. You're from Iowa?
From Iowa, yeah.
You have brown hair. And you're not 6'10". And you're not,
well, I know. I didn't get those genes, unfortunately. my younger brother's actually like 6'2", like a burly guy. So I don't know what happened, but he got all the physicality, and I got the good looks and the talent.
Be as big as you want. I'm good looking.
There it is, 100%. But yeah, and Kate's right. I think during that time that we were studying abroad separately, we just learned city living because... Yeah. We were all of a sudden in a college program out in London on our own. Like, yes, we had our program kind of tell us where to go and what to do, but we had a lot of free time to just explore.
Yeah.
So that experience in London then helped us move to New York City to like follow our dreams and mm-hmm. feel really confident and good about moving to a big city because we'd already experienced it.
And how long were you in the city for?
5 years.
Together?
You were there for...
Kate went out first because she graduated before I did.
Places
she does.
Yeah, I was 5 years, and then Jake moved out a year later when he graduated, and you were kind of gone more because you booked a few more things, so I feel like maybe 3 years you were there.
Yeah.
Did you go to act, Kate?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you act now?
I don't act now.
Does that kill, or is it relief, or
It's a relief.
Really?
Don't have to... audition constantly and the unknown and we have stability right now, which
it's welcome.
You don't miss it at all. Well, now you own the joint, you could cast yourself
and we would love to do adult programs eventually, or even like a staff show. We've kind of been talking about where all of our teachers and everybody get to come together and do like a one night only thing. But I really love teaching. I love the kids, and I love the organization of it all, the administrative part of everything. So,
and then so you act too. Do you
miss
it?
I do miss it. Yeah,
I'm good to go.
I'm on the other side of things. I obviously love directing. I'm so fulfilled with what we are doing, but I definitely get the itch to perform from time to time. Before we had our second kiddo. I was on an improv troupe.
Two kids.
And
working full time together.
Yeah.
How old are the kids? Oh, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's good. It's good. Our kids are about to be four. Our oldest is about to be four in June. And
15 months.
4 and 15.
Yeah. And that youngest boy, Will, he's keeping us on our toes. That's for sure. Oh,
and the oldest is?
Four.
Four.
Mm-hmm.
Boy two or?
Girl.
Girl.
Yep.
So. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
Teenage daughter, she's going to college in the fall.
Oh my goodness.
And we were we were like this tight forever. Like we had like our own like journey together, and so we got like we were under like extreme circumstances twice, and that like bonded us together.
Yeah.
So this extreme circumstances ended like when she was like 15. So And then all of a sudden she realized she was a teenager, and she has gone from on my hip to couldn't pick me out in the lineup.
That's tough. That's tough as a dad. Yeah.
And they, you know, she's just like all go all the time.
Sure.
I try to remember that every night when our daughter wants me to stay for 5 more minutes to snuggle. And I'm like, I have things to do. This isn't going to be forever, and I'm going to miss it as the second it's gone. So yeah. I'm trying so hard to enjoy those moments.
Yeah, yeah. And although they say like the teenage years are harder, and I found them easier because like, you know, it's less you have to do, and your decisions, the decision making is pretty much over.
Yep.
And then it's just, you know, if you do enough cardio so that your heart can take it when they start driving, then that's really the
start working out now.
Yeah, certainly. What is your daughter planning on studying in college? Tough question.
No, long story. So at one point I was arrested and faced 350 years in jail. I'm sitting here, so it worked out.
Wow.
52 felony counts.
Oh my.
I'm sitting here, so it worked out.
Yep.
That was like a journey. Right?
Of course.
And in getting there, I bounced in and out of jail twice for a month each time. One during COVID, where I was like isolated for 2 weeks, just completely. I had like a hotel waiting to myself. They weren't allowed to, like, you know, they had to leave food and then ring a bell when they were, like, on the...
Because they were afraid of getting you sick?
No, afraid of me getting them sick.
Oh, I see.
Because this is, like, at the very beginning.
Sure.
And they didn't know anything. And the guy I came in with a van in had 103-degree fever. And it was just me and him in the van. So, like, all right, buddy, you go on one end of the jail, you go on the other, and you're not allowed to talk to anybody or see anything for 2 weeks. It's just you in a room with Cinderblock for 2 weeks. So that'll...
100%.
After an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So, and then I was also like crazy at the time, like legit crazy. And so they started, and when you're in the system, they don't talk to each other. So one doctor would write me a prescription diagnosing me as bipolar. Then the next doctor would diagnose me, or doctor, whatever they were, as manic, and then schizophrenic. And then, and so they were giving me 7 different pills. Or 8 different pills, right?
Whoa.
But nobody knew that I was taking all 8.
Oh. Right.
Because they were just in a cup.
Oh, man.
So they started counterindicating. And one of them was lithium. And so lithium turns out I'm toxic. It's a poison in me.
Okay.
So the drug that I'm taking to kill myself, or not to kill myself, is actually killing me, right?
Wow.
So I make this decision, I'm going to take my life. And my daughter then was 7. So I make this decision, I'm going to take my life, right? So, but first I'm going to get off these pills because I don't want anybody to blame it on the pills. I knew I didn't do anything.
I
couldn't put my family through a trial, and I couldn't. And by the way, anything can happen in a trial. 350 years is a long time.
That's a long time.
Yes. Yeah, So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it in the fall when she goes back to school. She's going to go into third grade. So, but I announced to the world, the one thing they can't force me to do is take these meds, because by then I was out, waiting, figuring out what was going to happen. And I'm not going to take these meds. So I went cold turkey. Don't ever do that.
Sure.
So I did like a month ahead. So everybody in my life said, I'm out. The only person that hung around was my 7-year-old daughter.
Oh.
And I wasn't divorced anything. I had a wife. Yeah. She's like, this is self-destructive. Wow. I'm going to, share custody, but I'm moving out. We didn't divorce, but I'm just,
sure.
Because I don't want to see the wreckage, right? But my daughter said, no, I'm staying with him.
Oh.
And so...
Just a true guardian angel.
So every 15 minutes, I'm sweating through a towel. And I'm not joking. It was 4 times an hour I'd sweat through towels. She'd constantly running laundry, and I was throwing up into buckets, and she would go swap the buckets. And in between, she was on the phone. She had my phone, so she would just pick contacts and call him and say, you need to come visit him. Nobody would, but, you need to come visit him. And I was shaking so bad, I couldn't cook or anything. So we lived on, like, peanut butter sandwiches, and she would, eventually I got to the point where I could stand, after, like, it was like a week and a half, I couldn't stand up at all. Then I get to the point where I can stand up and walk around. And she would take me out in the yard and make up these long 2-hour stories and walk me in a circle.
Because
she knew I wouldn't go inside as long as she was talking.
Oh.
And so
what a sweetheart.
It was insane. It was insane.
I wouldn't think to do
that. No.
I wouldn't think to do it today. So.
Yeah.
No, she's just. So then what happened was, I got my plan. So I get off, I kick it, I'm done. And I got to make some legal decisions, and it's 52 felony counts. Everybody in the world is telling you, plead guilty and just, maybe get a deal and maybe you'll get out someday.
Certainly.
So, which I didn't do. So then it's 2 days before I'm going to do it. And I wanted to wait till she was back in school because she'd have a support group. And, so it's 2 days before I'm going to do it. And we lived on like a lake, and went down to the lake, and something, I don't know what it was, but something said to me, if you do this, the only lesson, Gramercy's my daughter's name, the only lesson Gramercy's going to learn is that if she loves, it will fail. And you can't do that to her.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, fuck. So anyway.
I mean, what an epiphany. My goodness. Literally saved your life and probably your daughter's life too.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
Yeah, probably, maybe literally.
Yeah.
So what does she want to do for college? She wants to do forensic psychology, which is be a psychologist in a prison. And okay. I'm like, come on, don't like, and I'm like, is this a daddy issue? And she's like, no. And I'm like, dude, there's no more clearly defined daddy issue. Sorry, it was a long way to
go. I'm so sorry that all that happened, but thank you for sharing.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I mean, what a journey.
It was insane.
Yeah. Oh.
And then the poor kid, like my wife got head and neck cancer. but like crazy head and neck cancer.
Oh man.
And yeah, she wound up on the Today Show. She wound up in news. Like she had this like this insane head and neck cancer and this crazy recovery, like very alternative recovery. And so, you know, for 2 years she was bald in the back of her head and couldn't talk about, and my daughter got to see that too. So I'm like, I think she got so roughed up and yet is so together. Uh-huh. It's weird. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, had to grow up fast and really mature.
Yeah.
Story.
Yeah.
And I play guitar, won't touch a guitar. Any of your kids exhibiting art yet?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very much so. I'm big into drawing. I've been illustrating my entire life. My dad just did a bunch of sketches around the house, and I always thought it was so cool to like see his unique cartoons. So I wanted to be just like dad. And when I was younger, I actually wanted to be a Disney illustrator, which thank God I didn't go into that field because
you'd be unemployed today.
Right. I would have had to either figure out, you know, 3D animation and working with computers, or I would have been completely out of a job. So I'm thanking my lucky stars I didn't go that path, but I've continued to draw, and it's fun. It's not anything I could do as a profession, but my daughter sees me do it all the time, and she wants to draw, and she wants to color. And honestly, there's not a day that goes by where she's not picking up a crayon.
Really?
Yeah.
But girl also sings and dances.
She sings and dances. Okay. Yeah, she sings and dances her heart out. Yeah. So,
Is she part of your program now?
She is. Yeah, she's in the Broadway Babes program, which is the 3 and 4 year olds. And she just did two songs on the stage before our production of Willy Wonka with the other 3 and 4 year olds. But,
right.
I mean, it was her big break. She was living her dream.
She's
so cool.
She's sold. But what's nice too is dad and mom know the ins and outs of the business and the way that it works. So if she wants to continue this path, you know, into adulthood, we're going to be really realistic about it and like really ground her because, you know, in a lot of ways we love and adore theater, but in so many ways it has really chewed us up and you know, it's a rough path for anyone. There's a lot of rejection and there's
there's more lows than
highs. 100%. And you have to be vulnerable all the time. And that vulnerability, though it's brave, can really just spiral you into something wild. Yeah. So,
and it strikes me, not the career that you have now in theater, but acting just strikes me as it's one of those, it's like music. It's one of those professions where how successful you are has very little to do with how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, which then takes away so much control over your own career.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, it's not like basketball where I can make more points if I take more shots.
Right. Totally.
Right? It's got nothing, it's gotten almost nothing to do with you.
Yep.
And then, you know, people who aren't artists would say, well, just work harder at getting better. It has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be 100 times better. Yep. And if I don't have red hair, I'm not getting the part for a character.
Yeah. Exactly.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
right.
Who auditions for a Broadway show is amazingly talented.
Yes.
Right.
So it's just which one does the person behind the table want for that specific project.
And you learn that real quick because you show up to any audition, you're like, oh, these bros, all 8 of them look exactly like me. And he can sing better than me, and actually he's more good looking than I am.
Right.
So who am I in this lineup? Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
And you know, like you said, you have consistency now. The other thing about acting, I would imagine, is that, you know, whenever the thing's over, your job's over. It's like gig economy, but like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even if you're the most talented actor and the most successful actor, your jobs still come to an end and you still have to figure out what's next. And there's that gap time and you have to.
We had a special guest.
It's a Bluetooth speaker. So I forgot to turn it off.
Hey, Melissa, thanks for coming in. Yeah. Power off.
I guess we're done now.
Okay, that's okay.
It's been 2 hours. It just went fast.
Wow.
So, yeah, just from going, like, there's always a start to something and a stop and a start and a stop to when you're an actor.
Yeah. Was there ever a time in your relationship where you're in conflict and you were tempted to act?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't
or use act or even use acting tools. Like, I'm making the point, this is the 418th time you left your Yankees cap on the floor. And I know how to make an exaggerated part. I'm trained to make exaggerated
parts. Oh, 100%.
Oh, you do do it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I have.
I think so.
That's because you're the better person.
No, no. She knows my tics. That's the problem. Oh, okay. You know, like she knows like, oh, you're not telling me the truth here because you've got your actor voice on.
Oh,
right. You know, or, oh, you're gesturing really hard. You're teaching right now. You know,
oh, okay.
I think I use it more with my daughter, to be honest. Like yeah. when you're in college, you learn how to like play an objective and truly seek out that goal. And what's more of an acting exercise than when your daughter will not get her shoes on, you know, and we're already late for school. Mm. It's like, okay, all right.
You gotta try a thousand different ways to get you to get your shoes on.
Yes, right, right. Yep, and get out of this alive. So,
do you do a Ryan Reynolds impression?
I don't do a Ryan Reynolds impression.
How many times a day do people say you sound like Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, actually, I've never heard that.
That's not possible.
No.
If I close my eyes, I mean, you have like a little bit more Midwestern, then, but if
sure.
I close my eyes.
I take that as a huge compliment. Right. Thank you so much.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Amazing.
I'm sitting here going, that dude's got a side hustle. Do like, you know what Cameo is?
Oh, yeah.
Do like outgoing voice messages as Ryan Reynolds or something.
It's you know, so funny.
If you're in a slow season over there.
Yeah, you there know, you go.
Summer's over and camps have done, and now you're like,
time to bring out the Ryan.
Like, oh, Kate, sorry. Ryan Reynolds now has a lawsuit out because I've stolen his identity.
Yeah, that would be a problem. Yeah. But you could do my outgoing message, where you could be like, thanks for calling home from here. This is Ryan Reynolds.
I would love to.
I would love to be on the show, but John won't book me. Something like that.
Yeah, oh certainly. Oh.
So you guys made the decision. Had you ever done any admin before?
No admin.
So you guys are not risk averse.
We started teaching first, and then we found Beacon, and then we were like, this place needs a kids theater. It needs like, because it's such an artistic place, but there wasn't an active kids theater there, and we were like, this is the place to start it. And then I think the admin and the business side just like kind of fell into place. And we founded it with a third person, with our good friend Tim, who I was on tour with when I was younger, and he kind of brought the business side to it.
Okay.
So
he's very business oriented and still lives in the city, runs his own, actually has three businesses of his own.
Okay.
On top of BPAC. So
yeah, so we kind of were learning from him and kind of taking all three of our skill sets together and then kind of figuring out the business side of things.
Cool.
But Kate's also being really humble. She's always been so organized and so logistic oriented. I mean, she talks about when she was younger that she would line up all of her stuffed animals in her room and she would schedule dance classes for each and every one of them.
Oh boy.
So it's in her bones.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Like it's in her bones.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious, yeah. Man.
Whoa.
And the microphone. There we go.
I'm sorry. So how old is... So you did the right thing. Did you... Beacon Performing Arts Center, you can say BPAC.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yep.
For home from here, I'd say...
Yes.
I can't
sure,
shorten it.
Sure.
Don't move.
What is it? HFH?
Yeah.
Which is, that's also tough to say. Yeah. HFH?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you're smarter than me. How old is BPAC?
8 years.
We should say Beacon Performing Arts Center once in a while. So
yeah,
certainly.
So it's 8 years old.
8 years old.
And do you feel like you're over the hump now?
Yes. We're in a groove. We're still like growing and figuring
always
things
growing,
out every
right.
day.
Yeah.
But ever
expanding.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're sure over the
Yeah, it's interesting. When we had what should have been our natural hump, it was kind of into quarantine and COVID,
yeah.
Which then had its own obstacles and torment.
What did
and
you do?
Oh man, we brought everything online.
Zoom, acting classes, Zoom voice lessons.
I wonder if did COVID help you because the kids had nothing else to do? So parents are just like, hey.
I would say it was pretty steady for a while. And then, I mean, of course, everyone got Zoomed out.
Yeah.
But by that time, I think we were starting to do outdoor things. masked things, separated things.
We really just started listening to the parents. I mean, we always were listening to the parents, but you know, like you were saying, while you were journeying in prison, that no one really knew what was happening at the top.
Right.
So we shut everything down, went directly online. We were even like, should we keep our rehearsal studio? It's just sitting there collecting dust and we're paying on this rent that maybe things will never be the same again. And right. we, you know, this studio doesn't make sense in our grand scheme, but thank God we had an epiphany and we just kept it, because once the doors were lifted on Beacon, by the time everyone was out of quarantine, there were no spots to be taken.
And parents were like, get my children out of my house.
Yes. Right. Like get them in
with other kids.
Yeah. 100%. So we did online musicals. So luckily Tim, our business partner, is a video editor. So we pieced together a bunch of online musicals. We partnered with the Beacon Theater in town, and they had a drive-in movie theater at the time.
Oh, wow.
And we presented both those musicals on the big screen.
Brilliant.
It was super fun. I mean, for the times, you know, like super fun and fulfilling. We then transitioned to outdoor musicals, which we will probably never do again just because of the logistics of the weather. Mm-hmm. But super proud of what we accomplished there. We were out at the University Settlement Camp, which I don't know if you've been out that way, but it's a massive it's a disc golf course that's there.
Oh, okay.
But it's a deserted summer camp that's there.
Wow.
And yes, they still have summer camps, but it was always meant for Jewish members that were in university that would come into the Hudson Valley during their summer vacation, and they would have refuge. They would stay there.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of history and a lot of very cool buildings that have just been kind of abandoned and kind of become a part of the landscape there. So we did Grease the Musical, High School Musical, and Into the Woods there. So that was a good time. And then luckily we were able to get back into the Beacon High School where we perform with masks on. But we were just rolling with the punches.
And where do you perform now?
Still at the Beacon High School Theater.
Still at the Beacon High School Theater.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's great. So the business is really the two studios, and then the performances are, you have a deal with Beacon.
Yep.
Yeah, we have a great partnership.
Theater, right? Ever.
And we do.
We're making a 5-year plan to see if we can accomplish a small black box theater, because it would just open up a completely different door of our business. And
black box theater would be cool.
Yeah, really just kind of a flex space. Yeah.
How far away from that are you?
But I mean,
years. Yeah.
Okay.
Years.
Very far. Unless
I have this idea, and I would come to you with it. Well, I'll come to you with it right now.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Nice. There's so many. Hudson Valley is just crazy littered with really good musicians.
Yes.
And also littered with like very good songwriters. But there's no venue for original music. And the problem is, like, when you play out, nobody wants to hear your crap. They, you know, and you kind of slide one in.
Of course. Yeah.
But my argument with that is, so, like, honestly, the only place you can play original music and have anybody hear it is in those two chairs. And, they won't play you on the radio. They won't.
Sure.
Right. So, but these guys are so good. So my thought was to get a spot and do happy hours from like 3:30 to 6, because everybody geeks out after 6, and give musicians like, and have, you know, have musicians have consistent half hour slots, because nobody likes a song after the first time they heard it. You need to hear it like,
sure,
that's how radio works.
Yeah,
right?
You're exactly right.
Times,
yep.
But by the third or fourth time, and you know a few of the words, oh, wait, I really like that.
Yeah.
So
couldn't stand it the first time, but the sixth time, okay, Chapel Roan, I'll give you a shot.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
So you'd have Jake would have, you know, Thursday from 5 to 5:30. And if I came in Thursday for 5:30, I'd be getting Jake, and I know I'd be getting original music.
Yep.
And maybe not the first time, but the third Thursday, I go in there and I hear that song that I like. You'd be able to build a following.
That's smart. Music. I like that.
But I can't have my own place
because what do you do after 6 o'clock?
Right.
And,
sure.
Right. So I was wanted to like lease out like a bar or something and
yep.
and
yeah.
that way and partner.
That's cool.
So when you pick your spot, make sure we can serve.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd have to for. Black box to support a black box theater though, you'd have to have adult programming too, right?
Oh yeah. No?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think in the like 20-year plan, it's like we would love to be an equity theater.
Yeah.
Ideally, and put on professional shows and hire actors and.
Why do you have to wait 20 years for that?
We do,
probably
we
just funding. I mean, first, to be honest,
first of all, just because we don't have the theater, once we get a theater, that would be. Would be probably the next step.
And it comes with support staff as well. You right. know, like Kate, Tim and I do a lot on our own shoulders and we love it, but there are times in which it can get really daunting and overwhelming and to add
we have so many pieces moving
constantly. And to add yet another program onto our hats that we're already wearing 27, it's
the kind of comes point where you could probably actually physically maybe do it. But then all the other stuff would be compromised, and then because that's a big mistake. Expand into an area, and I have another division here, but now they're all they all take a little bit of time.
All stretched thin, and our poor kids aren't seeing us on the regular. You know, it's just spirals.
Make the argument, please. I'm going to steel man the. I don't believe what I'm about to say, but I'm going to steel man the argument for no federal funding for the arts. Okay, but I don't believe this.
Sure,
I don't believe
sure.
this. But just to provide both sides of the coin, the marketplace, the arts are no different than anything else, and the marketplace should dictate it. And if the marketplace doesn't support live performances, if the marketplace doesn't support original music, then why should the government pay for something that the marketplace is telling you it doesn't want?
Mm.
That's the argument I don't believe, but that's the argument they would make.
Sure.
Give me the other side. Give me the right side.
I feel like the government, well, I mean, in this day and age, it might not be as big, but the government funds libraries, which are so crucial to everyone's learning and development and creativity. And I think we could go back to COVID and everyone were like, we're trapped in our houses. We can't do anything. What do people turn to for comfort and to get through a really hard time is the arts, is TV shows and books and movies and
new hobbies.
Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the arts are so crucial in, on the audience perspective, from being comforted and inspired and as a call to action when things need to change, but also from the side of the actors that I feel like we see in the kids that we teach every day, that they're becoming more empathetic and confident and resilient, and they just grow so much. So I feel like that is, I feel like it's crucial. It's not crucial for everyone to be in the arts, but it's crucial to have the arts circulating because that's where we find that comfort that we saw during COVID.
Yeah. See, I bite off completely. So I was still in the first half of your argument. Yeah. I don't believe it's better. I was saying, like, because you said when you get locked down, what do you go to? You go to TV. But that's not subsidized. We don't need, and that would be my argument, is we don't need to subsidize that.
Right, right.
But what none of that provides is the educational element.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought of like the work that you guys do as you can't make the argument for sports without making the argument for your work.
Yep.
It's the same exact stupid thing.
Yep.
Teaching people to work in teams, mm-hmm. learning what you're good at and what's not good at, and developing a space in that collaboration, taking direction, learning to be the ability to be coached, and the process of working together. Like in sports, you work together for a game that you can either win or lose. In your team sports, you work for a performance that you either do or don't do.
Yep.
It's impossible to argue. And by the way, how the federal funding for sports, if they're public schools, all those sports are funded.
Yep. Right.
You can't make the argument to fund football and not make the argument to fund a theater program.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, and I love what you said about, you know, working as a team on sports and all that good stuff, but I'll add this for theater. The kids are learning communication skills on top of everything that you just said. Right. You know, like, they're not only learning communication skills with their words, but their body language and how people perceive their body language and what it means to be confident as you're walking into a room, or, you know, dealing with rejection. Like, yes, of course, in sports, you're learning how to win and lose, and you might not make the starting team. So there is rejection there, but with theater, it is just you and only you. And you're walking into a room and you need to learn those crucial communication skills, especially as we progress with cell phones and AI and all of that stuff, where we're so enamored with technology that our students put their phones down for 2 hours and we see who they truly are. Right. And they're experiencing a human a human gathering that they can't really get anywhere else.
Yeah. I would also argue that theater might be, or the arts might be, performing arts rather, might be more important than team sports.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in a job interview and they ask you to articulate your weakest,
mm-hmm.
what's your big weakness? And you say, I don't know, but I can drill a three.
Certainly.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Whereas performing arts can, like you said, they teach you to present yourself.
Right.
And even more importantly, to present yourself competently.
Right.
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 So,
and to make, and so many people and kids start, they start scared and nervous, and they can hardly function with like just how nervous they are. But then to see their journey of like becoming into themselves and becoming more confident and knowing, like, so that journey, I feel like, is huge, because the kids just realize their confidence.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge self-analysis.
And they know that they've been on that journey.
Right.
So
right.
They can be proud of themselves. Oh my gosh, like, I did it.
Right.
But it was only 3 months. You know, it was a scared audition all the way up to the curtain call, where people are screaming and cheering for them and so proud of what they've accomplished. And oh my God, this was a self-realization journey. And, you know, and now I'm way more confident than I was beforehand. Right. And I'm feeling the reward, not from the outside, but also from right inside.
Yeah. And imagine that gift. Imagine like having a tangible understanding of, wait, I was scared to do something. I wasn't necessarily even good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And in 90 days, something great happened.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the next thing I'm scared of has nothing to do with the arts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know now to try and work.
I know now what that feeling feels like and how to get through it, and how everything was fine on the on the opposite side.
How do you handle the parents? My wife is a third grade teacher, so you feel free. I have parent stories.
I will say we're very fortunate.
Best parents.
Of course, you were going to say that.
How do you handle the parents? The parent, like 95% of the parents, are amazing and supportive, and
have been with us for years.
And they volunteer, and they are there for us. And then there's some parents, I think, that just don't understand what theater is and what rejection is in theater. And we try our best to explain that and give examples, because it is hard when a cast list comes out and your kid is not in a quote unquote big part, or the part that you thought they would be in. And to parents, I think that can feel like rejection, and they're trying to protect their kid. But we preach high and low that the ensemble is just as important as the leads. Every single person on stage is equally important in telling the story together. And even though, like, in the moment, if a parent is very upset about what part they got or what part their child got, we reassure them that just by being in the room and learning so fast-paced, and the choreography and the vocals, and we are pushing them, that they will not only learn from that, but they will also be in the room with the kids who might have a little bit more experience, who are in those leading roles. And just from being in the room and watching them and observing them, they are going to grow so much. And then, I don't know, we see it happen. We see kids enter as second graders, and we're like, okay, like, your time will come, your time will come, your time will come. And then eventually it's like, oh my gosh, they are there. And we can like go back to those parents and be like,
sorry.
No worries.
Nothing says true professional podcaster like not shutting your
It's all good. Well, no, the technology's talking to us today.
No, yeah. It usually happens almost every show. That's why I turn around to see who it was. My family calls during the show. They know I'm working. And I just put them up on the microphone. And I'm like, hey. And I embarrass them. So I thought that was them. And I was going to go for the joke. But, yeah, I mean, if I was sitting in your shoes, I would make the Michael Jordan got cut from JV team argument. Mm-hmm. And say, you know, hey, sometimes
certainly
this will motivate a whole life.
Yeah.
But if I'm a parent, I probably don't hear that.
And I will say at the beginning of our organization, parents reached out a lot more with concerns and questions and mm-hmm. all of that. But it's almost as though in our 8-year journey that we have delivered time and time again and have welcomed so many families and so many kids from all different aspects of life and journeys and skill sets that now our reputation kind of precedes us, which is so amazing and so important that when a new family arrives to our organization, there's a trust that's already there that you are going to take care of my student. Maybe the cast list won't show exactly what their responsibilities are going to be, but just like Kate was saying, my kid is going to learn. My kid is going to be pushed. We truly, our ensemble is everything. The kids are dancing like no other. And I think that's one of the reasons why we stick out among some other theater companies in our area is that we are so ensemble based and so much on teamwork that a lot of times our poor leads are sitting along the wall and just watching because
we got to drill the group number.
Right.
10 yeah.
Times. Right. Yeah. What's the age range?
So we work with probably four main groups. So the 3-year-olds to the kindergartners, they just kind of pretty much have classes and then they do some small performances. But as far as the shows go, there's 1st through 5th grade, so elementary, and then 6th through 8th, which is the youth, and then our teen group, 9th through 12th.
Would you let your teen group... I used to run a children's theater. Well, for a year I did.
Uh-huh.
It was a disaster. for different reasons, but would you let a teenager smoke a cigarette on stage?
No.
Forget the fact that it's illegal, right? Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't just as a matter of
a real no.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely not.
I quit over that. Mm-hmm. The director, I was the executive director, it was a nonprofit. I was the executive director. The director, we were doing Rent.
Uh-huh.
And
they wanted live cigarettes on stage?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I said, clove cigarettes. You need to smoke. And I'm like, clove cigarettes, something, or fake cigarettes.
Right. They have plenty.
Like, this was like 15 years
ago. Okay. Like, oh my gosh.
I mean, they have plenty of stage effects that you could make it convincing.
No,
but...
And the director's like, no, they're smoking real cigarettes.
I'm oof.
Like, okay. I also feel like you don't need to
smoke. It'll be my tires in the parking lot.
Good for you.
Smoke and Rent either.
No.
I mean, maybe like Grease or I don't know.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you that.
That's
question.
Crazy.
I always thought that was like a bad call.
Yeah. Wow. That's bizarre. But yeah, what's awesome about theater nowadays is that they've really catered it to the kids and they've catered it to the specific age groups. Mm-hmm. So stop me if you've heard this, but the elementary school, 1st through 5th, some do kindergarten through 5th, but we do 1st through 5th. They have what they call kids versions.
Yes.
And they're 40-minute shows. So the kids are not overwhelmed by the material. It's all the greatest hits from the show. The audiences love it too because it's not a 2-hour meandering mess like that the kids are trying to get through because a poor second grader can't. They can't even sit through a 2-hour show, let alone perform a 2-hour show. I mean, fair. So they've got a 40-minute show, which is perfect. Middle schoolers have about an hour to maybe an hour and a half show called a junior version. And then the high schoolers, if it's an edgier show, a lot of the producers have created what they call a high school edition or a teen edition. Mm-hmm. So it's not as aggressive as what audiences saw on Broadway, but the high school students still feel like they can be edgy. They can be those rockers. They can, you know, be so mature with mature themes and be comfortable in front of their parents doing it, yeah, you right. know? So.
Yeah. No, you still get to sing the cool songs in Rent without yes. having to go through the whole.
And we're totally. Doing Rent in the fall.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. The,
please.
Yeah. Dude, I watched, I did this thing called The Lifted Project, which is its own thing, but it was, you ever watch on YouTube the last performance of Rent?
I maybe a long time ago.
And
I
then saw. They all come out and sing Seasons of Love. Yes. But like all the former cast members.
Oh my.
I defy you not to cry. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah.
I've seen the opening night when they lost Jonathan Larson.
Oh, okay.
The actual writer and composer of the piece. And that is just heartbreaking and devastating in so many ways.
Wait, now I have something to cry to tonight.
I know.
Are you guys criers?
Yes.
Okay,
especially during theater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Honestly, when I was in the city, I didn't stop crying. Honestly,
was that because you were in the city?
Well, I think it was mainly because I was in the city and I was so out of sorts and I was going through my own like anxiety attacks and all that stuff. But for probably a 4-year period, I literally did not stop crying. Thank God Kate was my anchor and got me through those times. And
were you depressed?
I wouldn't say I was depressed. I was just so anxiety ridden, and
how'd you kick it?
I didn't.
Okay,
I didn't in so many ways. I mean, the thing is I had always seen myself moving to Chicago right after school, being closer to home. Yes, getting that city feel, but
still Midwest nice.
Yes, yes, something a little more welcoming and
a little bit closer.
Absolutely, 100%. So. Kate went out to pursue her dream in New York City, and we were so in love that I chased after her. And I do not regret anything because it, you know, it brought us to this point, and I've never been happier. And things would have unraveled in a completely different way. But me moving to the city was a huge, just kind of leap of faith, and it kind of destroyed me in a lot of ways. Where I wasn't good at taking the rejection of the audience or of the auditions. I'm a very sensitive individual, even though I come across like very enthusiastic and confident and all that, very empathetic and very like soft-skinned person. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a worrier my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like even as a kid, my mom didn't know what to do with me because I was constantly worrying. here's a great story. My aunt,
who slide this in between.
Yeah, certainly.
There you go.
Perfect. No, you don't have to move, but
okay.
He'll pick you up. And I just want to get more.
Yeah, my aunt. There we go. I
hear that a lot.
now it's working perfect.
Perfect. My aunt, we went out to a family trip in Colorado, and it was the full family. It was all of my dad's siblings and their kiddos, and we were in a gift shop, and my aunt was like, "Why do you worry just so much? Life is not so serious. Why do you worry so much?" And I couldn't come up with an answer, and she put this in my face, and it was this polished marble, and they called it a worry stone.
Yeah.
And it had a little divot in it.
Yeah.
And she goes, "I'm going to buy you this. I'm sick of your worrying."
Oh, thanks.
Oh my gosh, I feel so much better. Yeah.
And I,
oh,
rock. Right. And I was like, but can you buy two? Because what if I worry all the way through it and I make a hole in it?
Right.
And she was like, and she was like, "We're going to buy you this worry stone." So that was kind of my childhood of just me constantly having to worry. And then in college, it honestly subsided and went away because I found my tribe. I found a community that I love, and obviously found a woman that I love too. And I was having great success in college, and I was well respected in that program. But then you're then shot into the New York City demographic, and my whole world just came tumbling down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at job, and I wasn't good at job interviews. I'm very good at them now, but back then I was not good at job interviews.
Now that you don't have to do it.
Yeah, you don't.
Well,
have to.
Well, ain't that the truth? Yeah.
Oh, again with the tipping.
You interview yourself.
Sorry.
But I crumbled in so many ways there, and struggled to find employment right away. Luckily, I had some connections that got me some smaller jobs. I stopped going to auditions because they were too painful. And then that was like, okay, well, why am I in the city? The reason I came here was to pursue theater. I'm not making that happen. Oh shit, I'm a failure. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not booking these Broadway gigs. And on top of that, I didn't really know what anxiety was at the time. Like, no one had really sat me down. I had never been in therapy before. Luckily, Kate was like, I really think that you're anxiety ridden. I think you and I are similar in many ways, because Kate has had her path with anxiety and depression and those battles. And she really saved me in so many ways. Wow. on my journey. And
how do you manage it now?
Exercise.
My man.
Nature. Trust in, and just like trust in the process. I listen to a lot of like motivational audiobooks and self-help podcasts, and that helps settle my stomach a lot of times. But you
and
know,
you don't listen to the show. How does that?
I'm going to now. Okay. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan, John.
That's how I get listeners. I have 250 episodes and 250 listeners because.
Oh. Well, there's two of us.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, that's why I started having bands, because I get like six. Only have to do one show, get six listeners.
There we go. But yeah, I mean, it flares up from time to time. You know, like that's just how my brain is wired, and that's how it's always going to be. And
you journal.
I used to aggressively journal, and I used to sketch in all my journal. Yeah. Like it wasn't a true like lined.
Doesn't have to be.
No, and
sketch journals are great.
Yeah, it was a lot of just like inner thoughts, and I would then sketch something off of that, and they're actually really fun to look back on. Since having. No.
I've heard of those, yeah.
Oh, dude. So when I was crazy, right? And so then I say, all right, I got to live.
Yep.
I can't do drugs. I've been in and out of therapy. That's not going to work.
Yep.
So that's why I clapped when you said exercise. So I got to make my own plan. Nobody can fix this. So
yep.
I made my own plan. So I said, okay, from now on, and I do this every day. I get up 3 o'clock in the morning every day. First thing I do, The Artist's Way is a book. Okay.
Yes. So I'm familiar.
I've read that. Yeah.
Yeah. The morning pages are in The Artist's Way.
Okay.
What you do is you get up. You're allowed to make coffee, but you can't drink it if you do that. And you have to handwrite 3 pages. It doesn't. It can be Jake and Kate. It doesn't have to be. It can be Doorknob. It can be
Sure.
It can be whatever's in your head.
Yeah.
But you have to handwrite 3 pages. And it does two things for you. Number one, if there's something that I'm stressing about and I write about it for 3 pages, I'm bored of it. So I'm like, great. So I'm like, okay.
I love that.
And or for creatives, the other thing it does is like when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is receive, like throw on the news, get kids, you know, where are we in the process of getting out the door, blah, blah. All you're doing is receiving information.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes time to create, you have a cold engine that you're starting, right? When you first thing you do in the morning is output.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes time to create, the engine's warm because it already did it, and it did it for like 15 minutes.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So that's
good to know. Yeah. I'll have to try that tomorrow.
Yeah, and you just do, you don't have to show it to anybody.
Yeah, of course. Just burn it,
burn it or whatever.
Yeah,
just gotta wake up before the baby.
That's the true struggle.
But that's why I get it at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And the other thing I do is I work out for 2 hours a day.
Wow.
Good for you.
Yeah, but it is. People are
but
like,
you need it.
Yeah, it's not.
It's a necessity.
Yeah.
Certainly. Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things too, where because we work with kids, like our struggles with mental health, our struggles with anxiety, makes us a more empathetic teacher.
Oh yeah,
in many ways.
I imagine what you starting as actors, it's a weird. I did like this much acting,
mm-hmm.
and I even noticed it. It's a weird what you when you have an emotion personally, the goal is to have the emotion, right?
Period. Yeah.
The goal when you're acting, the job is to have the emotion and then reflect the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You got to turn the volume up on the emotion.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And when you learn. And then the line blurs between personal and professional, and you know, you just think, okay, I'm sad. Like, I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and as an actor, you're like, well, I'm like, as John, I'm like, oh, I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm you guys, oh, I'm sad. And I have to reflect sadness. And then it means I got to turn it up and exaggerate a little bit so that you get it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it takes away, like, I'm guessing, but you guys confirm for me, it takes away the boundaries almost. Like you have, yeah. you have to feel, I feel at a 1, you have to feel everything at like a 1.8.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But I feel like it kind of also teaches you, like when you're acting whatever emotion or like situation you're in, and then you let it go because you walk off stage. So it kind of...
Right.
You kind of separate.
Well,
you
when you're acting, but then when Jake pisses you off, and you're not acting, then you're like...
Oh, yep, yep.
Well, that's funny. That's what meditation does for me.
Yes.
So
for me... We meditate too.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. What's your practice?
Oh my gosh, what's it called? Vedic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. How much? What are you...
So I've been a little bit off the bandwagon since having... our first daughter or
there
our daughter.
No person who has a baby who's on a bandwagon. So disabuse yourself. But there's no such thing as a wagon.
That's true. The wagon has burned.
Right.
Before she was born, I was religiously meditating twice a day for 20 minutes each.
That's my practice, yeah.
Yeah, morning and then like early afternoon.
Yeah.
And now we just kind of do it when we can, mm-hmm. when the kids are in
school. Do you do it together?
We have, but not normally.
It's so hard to do it together.
Yeah. I use Headspace.
Okay,
Which usually just turns into a very nice nap.
But that's what meditation is.
Meditation teachers will tell you if you sleep during meditation, it's because you need to sleep more than you need to meditate.
Yeah.
And then, but you're right, because meditation taught me, because that's the second part of practice, meditate twice a day, 20 minutes. And what it taught me is, like, what you just said, like, so people think when you meditate that you stop thinking, and it's the exact fucking opposite. Mm-hmm. All you do is think. It's just that you can't distract yourself from the thought. Mm-hmm. So it's thinking with the volume turned up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But you learn to let a thought go, and then you learn, and then you learn to manage your thoughts. And then it dawned on me, I'm like, well, hey, if I can think, I like Kate's jean jacket, and then let it go, and not obsess about it all day, and go home and have to buy my wife a jean jacket. if I can do that, maybe I can let go of whatever somebody said at the gym that hurt my feelings, because that can go too. So you just kind of learn to release.
Yeah, it helps you with like your reactions and making. I don't know when I was doing it religiously, it was like something would happen. I'd be like, it'd be more like, oh, I noticed that's happening, instead of like clinging to it, because that's what you do when you meditate. A thought comes up, you notice it, and then it goes away instead of obsessing over it.
And the other problem with acting and mental health, I think, Tony, is like I'm Buddhist. So in Buddhism, when something happens, you observe it first, don't react, and then decide. On a reaction, if and when you get to the point where you decide on a reaction.
Yeah.
Nobody's really good at that, but that's
of course.
Goal.
Yeah.
In acting, something happens and you're evaluated on how fast and you react and how strongly. That's the exact opposite of peace.
Certainly. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, we tell our students that acting is reacting, because it is. Yeah. It is in so many ways. And even if your inner monologue or your internal dialogue is not thinking about the script or the story, your body has to be involved. And especially in musical theater, it's got to be big. It's got to be larger than life and all that good stuff. So yeah, you're absolutely right that acting is reacting in so many ways, and it's not so reliant on the dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's just your entire being having to feel these feelings time and time again. I mean, we have friends that are in Broadway shows right now, and they're doing 8 shows a week. You know, and your body gets into that pattern, and there's no way that your true emotions are not somehow attached to all of that.
Right. You can't do it.
No, that's
you
not
can't be good at it. And not
correct.
It.
Right. Yes, 100%. So yeah, actors, they're going through it constantly.
Yeah. Do you guys write plays or
no?
Would you ever think about it?
I've thought about it. I've dabbled a little bit, but the time it takes, we just don't have on our plate.
I had this. I was going to ask you for advice. I'm trying to write. All right, so I'm trying to write a folk opera.
Ooh, oh, cool!
Wow. Cool idea, right?
Yeah.
So it's giving birth to a dinosaur.
Yeah.
it's a cool idea, but man, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's brutal. So I was going to ask you how to write, but
what's the theme? Like, what is?
I don't know. What I want to do, I want to explore a relationship from beginning, middle, and end. Like, I want the relationship to end badly.
Okay.
But have it be an opera.
Uh-huh.
I want to kind of explore everything that could possibly happen to a relationship.
Cool.
Cheating, children,
sure.
Lying, broke, abundance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Blah, 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 blah. But do it in a
folk wow. opera. That's yeah. fantastic. Do you know The Last 5 Years? Have you heard of that musical?
No.
It's a Jason Robert Brown musical. It's called The Last 5 Years. And it's beautifully done where Kathy is starting at the Kathy's end of the relationship. And Jamie is starting at the beginning. And
from the audience's perspective.
Yes.
And they travel.
So cool.
And then they meet in the middle for like one scene, but then they...
That's sex, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
It actually, it ends up being there.
Both have to be in the same place. Yeah. Just
right. Right. Yeah. But it's beautifully done.
Sorry.
No, you're good. It's beautifully done. And it goes through the absolute highs of the relationship and the utter lows. So I would check
it
out.
But you're going from song, from him to her, from him to her, song to song to song, and it's her being like rocked because it's at the end, and then you go to him and it's the beginning of the relationship.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it's cool. Very, very interesting.
And the music is gorgeous.
Is it, what type of music is it? Like typical show?
Yeah,
music?
It's contemporary.
So I could
pop.
Steal that whole idea and just do it in
yeah. Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
You guys do know how to give writing advice.
there we go. Well, most great artists steal yeah, from yeah. time to time.
Yeah,
yes.
That's true.
Oh, my problem is solved. Are you going to raise your kids in the theater?
If they want to be in the theater, yes.
No, I mean, just like physically, like.
Yes, yes, yes.
What yeah. a great place, man. Because there's play, mm-hmm. there's victory,
yep.
there's affirmation,
yep.
like almost aside from the audition process,
mm-hmm.
the whole rest of it's almost affirmation
for yeah. sure.
What I can't think yeah. of a better place to raise a kid
yep.
than physically in a. You know, in a studio.
In a creative space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're lucky, man.
Our 4-year-old daughter now, now that she's older and when I need to, I'll bring her to class with me and she'll just sit and color. But she's like always kind of has an eye on it and taking it in and seeing like, seeing the kids grow and seeing the work. I mean, and she takes her own classes. Yes.
Role models.
Oh, she's always been enamored by the big kids.
Yeah.
The big kids.
Yeah.
And the big kids love seeing them.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
they really do.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate that our students are so involved in our lives, and like mm-hmm. they've seen Kate and I grow with the program as well. And you know, when many of the kids met us, we didn't have kids, so mm-hmm. they're now seeing our kids grow up and enjoying their journeys. And I mean, at this point, Lucy, our 4-year-old, she can sit through a 2-hour musical no problem.
That's awesome.
Because she's so enamored by by seeing the big kids work.
That's so cool.
And she's been seeing shows since she was a month old.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the only downside is she will see one of our shows and we've been working on it for 3 months and we're sick of the music and we want to move on to the next thing.
Right.
Well, now that she's seen it on stage live.
It's on repeat. Home.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She goes through little phases.
That is agony. Were your parents supportive of the arts?
Yes.
Yes, very much.
Very supportive.
Yeah.
Both of them are.
Yeah.
That's almost too bad. Because you're making like a living
mm-hmm.
and raising children
mm-hmm.
in an expensive part of the country
mm-hmm.
in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
I want one of your parents to not have wished you well so that you could come back now and just go... Oh, we got
well, it. I'll tell you a brief story. So my dad was a football player growing up. He was an all-state linebacker and lived and breathed football. That was his sport. And obviously growing up in the Midwest, that is kind of the way,
right.
You know, you find your sport, you stick with it and you get really good at it. So, when I was of age, I became a wide receiver for football, but you're seeing me. I'm 5'8 and about 145 pounds. I'm not a big guy. I never have been. So in middle school, I was pretty good. And then we got into high school and I was playing baseball and football at the same time. And when it came to football workouts, I was completely being eaten alive. The other boys were getting bigger and stronger and they had their hearts in it. And I couldn't wake up in the morning to even go. I didn't want to do it anymore, but I was trying to stick with it because I knew it was important to my dad.
Right.
And it got to the point, it got to a breaking point where I told my mom, I was like, I'm so sorry. I can't be a part of this football team. It's just not, it's not me. I will continue baseball. I will do baseball until I graduate high school. I can promise you that. But football is not me. And she, deadpan, she goes, okay, you have to tell your father. You have to tell the coach that you're quitting. But more importantly, you have to tell your father that this is not for you. So we had that really tough conversation, and it really rocked my dad because I'm the firstborn.
Okay.
He had high expectations of me being the football all-star. And for a while, like, my dad wasn't so, you know, he didn't know what to do. And I auditioned for the fall play that season.
Crushed it.
And I got the lead role.
Yeah, there it is.
As a freshman. And all of a sudden, all those doubts and all of that pain that my dad had kind of gone through during our summer of me not playing football completely vanished. And my dad has been my biggest fan ever since.
Oh,
I mean,
awesome.
My dad has always been my biggest fan. Right. Like, don't get me wrong, but there, you know, there was that blip in that journey. And now he's coming out and he's building sets with me for the shows.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's seeing every show he possibly can. They have season tickets to a local theater that's right across the river from them, and they go all the time. Like, he is a true theater nerd at this point.
Say you're welcome.
Absolutely.
You say you're welcome.
Well, all the above, though. Yeah. And you know, my dad taught me how to work extremely hard and set goals, and so he will always be me.
So he drives out from Iowa. For many, we do 5 or 6 shows a year, and he drives out. He drives from Iowa. A lot of times he's pre-made some of the set pieces, and so he drives his truck. There's a bunch of stuff there. And the two of them just nerd out for 12 hours a day at the theater. How can we make this Willy Wonka set piece? And it needs to do that. And then Doug goes away, and he, like, tries it, and then they work together, and Jake has the artistic vision, and Doug figures out how to get it done, and it's awesome to witness.
Your dad's such a better dad than me. Putting your horrible child abuse story. Doesn't everybody?
Sure.
Yeah. I realize how that came out.
On a gorgeous Thursday. Let's
Not really. So, singer-songwriter, right? Yeah. Put myself through school doing it. Then I went corporate, which was like the dumbest, but I should have done what you guys did and just said, no, I'm sticking.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. But I did. Went corporate, then got sick. And then decided I'm coming back to it, right? So now I have a kid. And I'm like, and she sings. And she's got the most amazing, she's got, I know I'm her dad, but I'm telling you, the kid's got pipes. And I play guitar. And I'm like, Graham, you want to play guitar? No. Want to sing? No. Want an 8th grade choir? You want to join? No. Music teacher's like, she's got this voice. And I'm like, I can't, won't do it. So I do this thing called the Lifted Project. And the Lifted Project is I take 38 to, last year was like 50, kind of solo artists that like play out all over the place. I write an original song. I give it to them. And they're not allowed to rehearse it. They can practice it themselves, but it's a choir piece. But they're not allowed to rehearse it together. And we have 4 nonprofit partners. And the nonprofit partners sell the tickets. And they come and present, and the audience gets to see us go from suck to whatever, you know, the song's good to being good, right? So the first year I do this, I'm like, okay. I write the song, and I'm like, okay, my daughter's name is Graham. And I'm like, you're not going to sing for me? Watch this. So I write her a little one solo line in the song.
Oh.
And I'm like, and she wants to, you know, she wants to, like, please her dad.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do you want to do this? I gave her the choice. I'm like, do you want to do this? So she goes, yeah, I'll do it. She doesn't like singing in front of people. It's why she wouldn't. She's scared to death. And so then, like, news gets out of this thing, and we wind up selling out an airport, and it got, like, legs. And she walks in, and there's this crowded airport lobby, and there's 38 rock stars standing there, all adult, all soloists. All, one better than the next.
Wow.
Blah, 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 blah. And this little 15-year-old kid who's never done it before. And I made her do it.
Yeah.
That's abuse.
Did she? No. Did she pull it off?
It's such an interesting story.
So, no, she was horrible. Mm. And when we practiced it at home, she was good. But then, you know, you're sitting there and there's Janis Joplin, there's Aretha Franklin. And here, you know, I mean, it was just stupid. It was such a bad idea. So she was like really bad. But then the Lifted project's based on a whole other story. But the premise is that one person just takes another person. Sorry, climbing on your fairway. There's no money changes hands. There's no obligation, mm-hmm. but you just lift that person up in whatever way, and that's why we don't take any money. Right. So there was this one singer who said who's like young, attractive, like your age, mm-hmm. And she said, "Can I just talk to her for 2 minutes?" And I said, "Yeah." She took off. I don't know what they said, but they walked back in and we did another take, and she crushed it. And I was like, "Man!" So in the end, it turned out to be a really good experience.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Had the capacity to go wrong,
but also in the spirit of the spirit of that event, like
that's the whole
Do
you want to hear the story real quick about?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. So my wife gets his head and neck. You guys are sensitive. This might touch you. So my wife has his head and neck cancer. They chop her head off. She's got a scar like from here all the way. They chop her head off. Then they burn her face off. She's got ash for cheeks and ball in the back of her head. And this goes on for like 10 months. And she can't eat. She can't talk. She can't vote. Then they dump you off. They basically like, you get to ring a bell if you can. She couldn't. And you go home. And then you sit. And I'm like, well, she can't eat. She can't talk. She can't vote. And they're like, all right, well, John, you got to fix this. So like, she sat in a chair for a month. And then they take her. So finally, I'm like, I got to get you out of this chair. We got to at least go outside. Mm-hmm. So it's January, blue sky. And I put her winter coat on her. And it's too heavy. She can't stand up. So I put a blanket on. We go outside. And she gets out from underneath the house and she starts tipping her head. And usually that means like I can't swallow or there's mm-hmm. something wrong. But this time she was remembering what the sun felt like because she hadn't felt the sun in forever, right? So then I'm like, okay, we're going to do 10 steps. We do 10 steps and back. And the next day we do 12 steps and back, right? And I get her to the point where she can do like 300 steps. But then it kind of plateaus. Meanwhile, I'm working out because I'm crazy. So I take these classes with this trainer. Her name is Julie. And I say, Julie, what would happen if I brought Trish in and we just went to the back of the class and Trish just like shuffled? And she's like, yeah. So Trish puts on a big sunglasses. Trish also at the time thought she was disfigured. So she puts on like the big sunglasses, scarf, baseball hat, turtleneck, the whole thing. Right? Sure. I've been looking like the Invisible Man. Like, right? So she comes in and she goes to the back and, you know, it starts and she starts kind of like shuffling. Like she can't lift the weight or whatever, but she can like shuffle in the back. She's in the corner. And my friend Julie says, no, here we go. Goes to the back, grabs her, brings her up front, turns around to face the whole rest of the class and does the whole class shuffling with her while the rest of the class is doing its thing. Go back down to the car. Trish gets in the car. She goes, do you think I could ever do that again? At the same time she says that, phone rings. It's Julie. And Julie says, get her ass in here every day.
Oh.
So every day for 4 months, Julie, there's a whole class of like 40 people that are doing their own thing. And while the teacher sits with Trish and no money changes hands, no nothing. So one of the parts of this class is you got to jump up on a 2-foot, box.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay.
Oh, sure.
Oh.
Yeah,
I can't do them, but
I've seen people do them.
I can try. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So Julie gives Trish this 3-inch thing. He says, you know, try to do that. She tries to jump on the 3-inch thing, trips, falls, cries, whole thing. End of class. Julie brings Trish over to the 2-foot thing and says, "We are not stopping. We are going every day until you can jump up on this."
Wow.
Every day, volunteer, just me and you, not even friends, like. Not like, you know, I've had a history with you and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So they get to the point where she can do 3 inches, then she can do 6 inches, then she can do a foot, right? So one day, she's standing in front of the 2-foot block, and she can put like 1 foot on a time and then put it down, and another foot on the time and put it down. And, you know, there's milestones along the way, but she can't, you know, it's only 1 foot at a time.
Yeah.
So, but they have this relationship now to the point of children's theater, to the point of what we were talking about. When you have an experience where there's something you couldn't do, and then you start getting better at it, and you get that experience of small win, small win, small win, small win, you build confidence. Mm-hmm. And also, same with children's theater, you build a relationship with those around you. So Julie walks up, whole class, 40 people. Julie walks up to her. suck at telling a story without crying. Uh-huh. And she says, and I'll never forget it. They go forehead to forehead. And Julie goes, you can do this today. You are a feather. You can fly. You can do this today. Mm. Steps back. 40 people circle around. Trish is like shaking. Doesn't know what's going on. Oh. Looks at me. I'm like, this is between you ladies.
Right.
Looks at Julie. And Julie's like, yeah. And she jumps up on the box. And just to see like a culmination of you know, it's the last performance of Rent. Just to see the culmination of all that, mm-hmm. all that work and love without an agenda. Just yeah. having no agenda. So yeah. that was the story behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Lifted like, that's amazing.
Let's go a little bit further each day. Even if it's yeah. like, even it's if it's a small
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. yeah.
And that's where the name came from. Lifted?
Yeah. Because yeah. she lifted up. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so. That's very cool.
Yeah, you guys should.
What
do
a powerful
year.
Show! Yeah, oh my awesome. Goodness!
Yeah,
yeah.
It's well. So okay, so it grew. So last year we sold out that, you know, the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last year we did it there. It's every April, cool. and we sold that house. So now I think we're going to the Bardavon.
Wow! So
last year
it's beautiful house.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been.
Yeah.
Last year we had a children's choir. There's a lady dying of cancer and like gonna die, and so two people wrote a song for her, and she was there. Then we had a guitar symphony, and then we had wow. like, this choir. So if you, I would love to have
that would be amazing.
Yeah,
I'd right. love to.
All right, cool.
I mean, our teens are unbelievable.
Oh,
and they could.
In.
They would
Stephanie,
lend their time.
Stephanie times. Was in children's choir live.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. Yeah. Amazing.
So I would well, love your teams.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, awesome.
Or Kate and I together, both. Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
Oh, both.
That'd be fantastic.
Oh, I love that.
That would be really, really cool.
Yeah. Right, so let's keep in touch. This is amazing.
Oh, totally. So you taught me to steal from your right. I'm getting more out of this than you guys are. Steve Warner, right? I got two really good singers for the Lifted Project. I got teens for the Lifted Project.
He's also never heard us sing, so he's telling
he's
us.
Theater. Nobody's in theater.
Can you imagine?
Do you know anybody?
I'm also a vocal coach, so I hope I can sing.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's one thing you would tell somebody? If you had one sentence to give a lesson, what would it be?
I would say use your body when you're singing.
Mm. Yeah.
To bend your knees and lift up your arms and just use your body.
What if you're playing the guitar?
Ooh.
I'm asking for a friend. What if
you're for a friend.
I mean, you could still bend your knees and
you
use your body.
You can still bend your knees and use... Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you just have to stand up. Use your body.
What if you sit?
If you sit, let's say...
this is why I don't vocal coach guitar
player. I would never...
Pain in the ass.
Open up your mouth. And just let it soar.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good point. Do you vocal coach too?
I don't. I do more acting coaching.
Okay.
But sometimes that comes with, you know, there's a blurred line that's there, especially when we're in like performance prep. And because I'm a guy and there's some guys that have their voice changing and whatnot, I can help them, you know, achieve a higher note or just confidence in general. But
for the next 3 months, you can hit up.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
All right, so same question. And then there's one question I asked Jake that I didn't ask you, so I got to come back. But same question, one sentence that if you were my acting coach, you would tell me.
I would say justify your lyrics.
Acting.
Oh, acting wise. Act. Yeah.
Your script.
Yeah, justify your dialogue. Make it make sense to you, make it personal, and really make that story as clear as possible.
That's pretty good. You guys are good. Well, I never asked you, have you kicked the anxiety and the depression?
It comes and goes.
Okay.
Comes and goes. Meditation, exercise, meds.
Yeah, do you like the meds?
Mm-hmm.
For people for whom meds work,
mm-hmm.
it's life-changing.
It's life-changing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had a guy in here who described it. He's a guitar player, and he described it as like I saw color for like the first time.
Yeah.
Mm.
You guys?
Yeah, and just being able to like put my shoulders down. Yeah. Yep. So
I want to try weed for that.
Yeah, I never have.
I want to hear a funny weed story.
Sure.
So we decided we're gonna try to get pregnant, right?
Uh-huh.
Neither one of us had tried weed before. I'm friends with a chef. Who had tried weed a lot.
A couple times.
So I'm like, but I used to smoke a pipe.
Uh-huh.
So I said, we want to try weed. And he goes, all right. He goes, you have a pipe, right? I'm like, yeah, I have a collection of pipes. He goes, okay, check your back door tonight. And so he left us a bag like this. Trish and I are dumb. So we sit down. It's a Friday night. We sit down. And when you smoke a pipe, you have a pouch of tobacco. You go through the pouch of tobacco over the course of the night.
Mm-hmm. Where's this going?
We smoked the whole bag between the two of us. Ooh, we lost Saturday. We lost Sunday. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I do want to go back to it because I think it'll... Mm-hmm. What's the... For the Performing Arts Center, what's the next step in the plan? Not the end, like 5 or 20, but what's the next?
So Kate's starting a new program called our Junior Company. Mm-hmm. So we're very fortunate that we got a chance to go all the way to Sacramento and compete at a national level.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really fun. We brought 7th through 12th graders out to Sacramento. There were 22 students.
Oh, my God. Many of them
had been with us since the beginning of our organization. So
what a great way to go out. Then.
Totally. Yeah.
But it was an audition-only group, so people had to audition. And
yep, and we had to present a 15-minute cut of a musical that was in our season, like in our current season. So we brought out 13 Junior. 13's about a Jewish boy from New York City that moves to Indiana. And he was super excited about his bar mitzvah and being the coolest kid in school. And now he's in Indiana where no one knows what a bar mitzvah even means.
Right.
So yeah, it's very, very funny.
Cut a little close to...
No, certainly. Yeah. We're not Jewish, but we understand.
Did you know what a bar mitzvah was?
We did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so we brought that story, a 15-minute cut, out to Sacramento. We had great success with it.
Congratulations. That's good.
Thank you so much.
It was amazing.
Yeah, we were one of 7 organizations that got to sing during the final ceremonies.
Out of 60 organizations.
Yeah.
There were 7. We were one of them out of 60. That
who does your publicity? Because people should know. Well, I mean, they're going to know now, but who does your publicity?
Just us.
It's just us. Yeah.
Because that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So that's a big accomplishment.
We were very, very proud. We sent it out to the Beacon Free Press and the Highland Current, and they ran an article for
good.
Us. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. But
we're going to the one in Atlanta next year,
which is 2 times bigger.
Which is like 6,000 or 7,000.
How many
people.
Adults do you bring with you?
The kid, most of them brought 1 or 2 parents.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wrangle 22.
We're not the wranglers.
They were also very excited to experience it with the kids because it was something we had never done before. Yeah. So the parents were all in. Yeah. But anyway, Kate's a very smart business person and also just wants these kids to have immense training. So we're now doing a junior company to begin to train
second through 7th graders.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
But it's for those kids on the more advanced level who are ready, who maybe want to get an agent or audition professionally or just learn more advanced acting techniques. Mm-hmm. So
who makes the creative decisions?
All 3 of us. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kate, Tim, and I bounce off of each other really well. Mm-hmm. And we're all creative in our own aspects.
Yeah.
And so if I get Tim in here alone, is he going to say, I make the creative decisions?
No.
What Tim will say. He will say, because he's pretty hands-off these days because he still lives in the city. His full-time gig is videography, and he videos like all the Broadway shows and stuff. So I think he'd probably say us because we are full-time employees.
We have our boots on the ground.
What do you do when you disagree?
Just talk it out.
Yeah.
Like there have been.
Who wins?
It depends on the discussion. Like
Is that even?
Yeah.
Oh no.
I would say
it depends on the discussion.
It depends on the discussion.
A lot of times, Tim and I are on the exact same page, and we are able to bring Kate to our ideas.
Or, I mean, honestly, us being 3, there's always like we always gravitate towards I feel like that happens.
It's a great balance. And there's also times too, because we live in the same household and we're married, Kate and I will be on the exact same page, being like, this is it. We have to do it. We bring Tim to the conversation and then he brings us down to earth.
Or right. He brings a different perspective and we're like, oh my gosh, why were we even thinking of doing that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So having that third individual, it's just truly balanced us. We've never gotten into an aggressive fight.
Never.
I mean,
well, that's good.
Yeah. And,
well, you guys meditate a lot.
Well, yeah. and that's the truth too. But also at the end of the day, what we do is fun. It's fulfilling. Right. And at the end, it's kids theater.
At the end, whenever right. we're stressed, we're like, it's kids theater.
Yeah.
We're okay. Like,
do you, how do you stop? Because theater's not 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the same house. Like, do you ever get to the point where, like, how do you stop, or do you stop?
We don't stop, but also especially when the kids are when we're with our kids, I many times make a point to be like, laptop shut, go away. I can do this in an hour when they're in bed, right. So I can be more present. But I mean, we're talking about it all the time.
Yeah,
I mean, when we like go on a date every year. I'm like, we're not talking about BPAC tonight, and then we're like, well, what shows are we doing next year? Yeah.
Do you find that it dilutes the relationship a little bit, because you like in relationships, like, you got to explore the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have something else to talk about mm-hmm. all day long, mm-hmm. and a legit excuse to talk
mm-hmm.
about it
mm-hmm.
because it's your business, it's your mm-hmm. livelihood, mm-hmm. it's your partnership. Mm-hmm. Nobody would blame you if it was just yep. BPAC all day long, yep. right? Except yep. for, you know, except for the kids.
Yep.
So do you guys find that like it invades on your?
I don't think so, because there are times when I'm like, when Jake brings something up, BPAC, and I'm like, can we just not talk about BPAC right now? Like, can we talk about like our kid or
okay,
because I feel like we have good boundaries with that
for certain. And also the fact that we were friends first doing theater, you know, it's almost as though that was always our foundation,
right.
So Kate and I always come from like a friendship place first, and then a love of theater, and then like a love for each other, right. Really. So cool. Yeah,
so something just dawned on me though. You knew Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
You knew she went to London to study Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
You know her name is Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And you pursued her.
Yeah.
Dude, you're a stronger man than I am. I would have affected those dots differently.
Like, just kidding.
Yeah, but I'm like, wait, she's training in our form where she's smarter, stronger, faster than me. I'm going to go chase her.
And now we're all full circle. I see what you did there.
Yeah, right?
You're an incredible podcast host.
That's the Webby right there. At 1 hour and 26 minutes.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah,
wow.
That's the Webby right there.
Time has flown.
Are musicals are hard. How do you handle the music part? Do you have a pit and people?
The music. Gotcha. I thought you just meant music in general.
I was like,
well,
that's what we do.
Well, I teach the music. We do tracks. We're hoping to have a live band for Rent, but there's so many moving pieces. We have we did a live pit once, but we do tracks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean,
and they provide tracks.
And tracks have gotten so good.
Yeah,
like they really sound like a live band. It gives us that consistency, especially with our elementary school kids. They need that constant metronome.
And they can practice at home with the same tracks.
And they can rehearse and not have to drag like a piano player in, and then have them all thrown off the last week when you finally get the drummer in with it. Yeah.
We've done three different celebration cabarets, and we've always had a live band for those.
Oh,
and that is really amazing. Yeah. And Kate and Tim work on the playlist where there are some musical theater songs, but we're also such fans of pop hits that they interweave some pop
and we do different takes on them.
And then Kate arranges harmonies for those solos, duets, and like small group numbers. Yeah. So
you can arrange
just like basic harmonies and stuff, like not anything like crazy,
but she has musical theory like crazy. She can sight read anything you put in front of her.
Do you play?
Mm-hmm.
What do you play?
Piano.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay. Oh dear, I hope I can answer it.
So for serious question. For the lift deprived, mm-hmm. you're writing for a choir. Mm-hmm. But the choir can't. This is so ugly of me to ask me your opinion. I'm sorry.
No, it's great.
Okay. So, for Lift the Project, you're writing for a choir, uh-huh. but you can't write parts because you have to rehearse if you're going to have a part.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the only things you can kind of mess around with is, like, you can create small groups and layer, mm-hmm. like that you can do, mm-hmm. and dynamics you can mess around with. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can put a soloist over that you can do, but mm-hmm. you can't do harmonies, per se, because nobody mm-hmm. can practice them. Mm-hmm. Am I missing any trick I could do?
So I actually learned this from one of our other music directors, Holden, because he's a chorus teacher and he's just so amazing at what he does. But I used to run my music rehearsals plunking out the harmonies. All right, altos, we're going to go through blah, 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 sing, la, 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 la. But what Holden does, which I've started doing and it saves so much time and it makes sense, is doing sectionals where... like I go through the entire score and I make recordings for here's the soprano part on this song, da, da, da. And then the kids in rehearsal, the sopranos, like every part clumps together in their own little, like some go in the lobby, some go in the back. And first they listen to it and then they hum along with it. And then the third time they sing with it. And then we all come together. They pretty much know their parts. I can fix some things, but it saves so much time by them learning it simultaneously at the right. same time. So I feel like if you had harmonies,
here's why you can't do that.
Yeah,
because these people aren't animals. they won't. If I write a harmony, yeah. they're also good.
Yeah.
That if I write a harmony, mm-hmm. they're going to ignore me and do what they want to do.
Do it.
That was the other knock on me was like I'm not a conductor. I conducted like. Twice before in my life, I'm not a conductor.
Yeah.
And so this is a horrible art story, though. So one guy did the first Lifted project, and he was a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Is a friend of mine, but so he invites me out to lunch. He goes, I want to talk about the Lifted project. And I go, why? He goes, you need a music director. And I'm like, why? And he goes, because you're standing there, you don't know what it's sounding like. That's the whole point of the thing. It's not a concert. It's learning us go from bad to good. And he goes, and you need a conductor. You're not a conductor. And I'm like, right, but you can't conduct these animals. they're not normal people.
Yeah.
Almost lost a friend. Yeah, that's a weird thing to say to somebody, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you're not a normal person. Yeah.
How soon before you get the black box, do you think? Like,
our eyes and ears are always open. For example, there are rumors that the Rite Aid in Beacon is closing because mm-hmm. Rite Aid's going out of business, and it is a huge space. So I'm like always kind of texting. We have a real estate agent who.
But that's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to start that big?
I don't know. We'll see.
If the price is right and if it makes sense. Right. I mean, yeah. the thing is with Beacon is that the space is limited already, right. but then the city ordinance is that they need parking. Like,
oh, okay.
Have you been to the Town Crier on Main Street?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There, it's an amazing venue.
Yep.
And they have parking out back, right. so it works.
So and they can do it.
100%. And the city loves it. And most of their concerts are later at night, so yeah. mm-hmm. you know they're not so worried about traffic on Main Street or you know the congestion. There is a brand new theater company called the Veterans House, and it's now down near Bank Square Coffee House in Beacon.
Okay.
And they don't have parking. So I'm not certain how they have solved that problem or if they're able to use some parking that's there by the new right. fire station or the city hall. But yeah, we would need to find the right mix of right. available space, parking.
And money.
And funding. Yeah.
And funding.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
so I think that would probably... like we'd have a campaign of some sort to try to.
Yeah.
But we also love our venue. I mean,
yeah, we love where we are.
Right,
we love the two studios that we have.
I mean, that's kind of perfect.
It is. It's perfect.
And we're right down the street from the Beacon High School.
Broke, man.
So,
are you guys worried about AI?
No. I think with us, with live entertainment, I think that our programs like us are going to thrive.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think that AI has actually helped streamline some of our headaches already. Mm. You know, there's technical things that that we've spent so many hours on, and now it can help us in 2 minutes flat, yeah. You know? So I think for us, I think AI is, I'm sure it'll be a threat in some areas of our business, but especially for kids theater in the way that Kate and I are doing it, I don't see us.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I actually think, like me, I mean, from my musician side, AI is actually going to help live performance because it's the one thing it can do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So drill everything else down and, you know, oddly enough, the people that couldn't get full-time jobs will be the last people to have full-time jobs.
Mm.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Artists have been struggling for years to make a paycheck.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden,
we're the only ones.
Yeah.
Do you ever use it to like write for you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
More just to like...
like press releases and stuff like
that. Yeah.
Press releases, or like, how do I respond to a parent who is wondering about how do you cast a musical?
Right.
It's like, well, AI. And then and then we see, we're like, oh, we can make those 4 points. We don't usually like copy and paste, but it's like, oh, right. We need to talk about this and this and this.
On the other day, so messing around with AI. And my wife, third grade teacher, she wants you to write, but I get it.
Yep.
But I'm like, yeah, but you don't understand what this stuff can do.
Yeah.
So she's going to retire maybe in 5 years, maybe never. And so I said, I'm going to ask it to write your retirement speech. And so I did. And like 30 seconds later, I'm here, here's your retirement speech. And she's like, what the f-? It was pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then I put the lyrics on, but I'm like, but it doesn't just do that. I put the lyrics on one of my songs in and asked it to write a review. And I'm like, and she reads the review. She goes, how come you're not doing the Super Bowl halftime?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's wild.
It's so wild.
It's wild. It's scary.
But it's nice for like the shit that you don't want to write.
Yeah.
Like press releases, or like, certainly, make me a form, make me a permission slip to, or whatever, you know, whatever that kind of stuff.
Yep.
It's so good for that. It really is.
Yeah.
When do the adult programs start?
Well, we do adult classes, but as far as shows, we'll have to see. But adult classes we do during the school year.
Are they successful? Are they popular?
They are successful. It kind of comes and goes depending on, because I mean, I know everyone is so busy, but in the fall, I feel like they're usually a little bit more successful, or not successful, more popular and full.
Is it a weird hierarchy when you do adult classes? Because like some people are like, got the lead in the high school playing, and they're thinking, I know. And, and other people are like, I just want to try. And those two people are in the same room.
Yeah.
We usually try to do different levels. So like, we'll do like a level 2 if you have experience or have acted before. And then a level 1 of like, I'm brand new to this. Like what? I'm just getting my toe like in the water.
Yeah. And what's interesting about the Hudson Valley is there are so many members that are still actively auditioning through self tapes, or they're actually going down to the city to do that, where they wouldn't come to a training session at Big Performing Arts Center because they have proper training. Or
but they might come to like a scene study class that's more advanced with us.
Yeah.
To play and to
certainly
you guys
and to sharpen their skills.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do improv.
Yeah.
That was like the only acting thing I was ever good at. Was like improv.
Improv is fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's complicated. If you really dive down deep into what improv is and like how to find the fundamentals and successful scenes, it can get really tricky, but on the but also very freeing, right?
Because
you don't have any scripts. You really don't have to do any rehearsals of like, hey, we have to hit these beats.
Right.
It's all free form. It's all ready to go.
Is it hard to do with the same person a lot? Because I feel like you would get in a rut. Like, I would know your joke because you made it last Thursday when we did it. And you, I know that you're going to do like a variation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of it or no?
I haven't hit that with any of my troops that I've been a part of.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, with some kids, like I do some improv theater classes for kids, and they get into patterns and but I think with an adult, they're trying to kind of stretch their ability and their skills and their creativity to the point that you don't really hit the same exact jokes or fall into the same pitfalls.
Right.
Yeah,
like Michael Scott in The Office. Yeah.
Are you an Office fan? Do you like The Office?
Oh yes.
Where he? What is it? Boom! Michael Scott. or whatever.
Yeah, right? Always coming in with a gun in the scenes.
They're like, no guns. No, no.
I just took away all your weapons.
All right, what's the website?
BeaconPerformingArtsCenter.com.
Can I donate even if I don't have a kid?
You can, yeah.
Are you a nonprofit?
We are a nonprofit.
Okay. Ooh, can we do part two? Because I got lots of nonprofit
stuff.
Okay.
Sure.
And is it too late to sign up for the summer?
It depends on the program. There's like two that have a couple spots left. Most of it is kind of full, but
for summer shows we've already cast.
We're
doing Hairspray and Something Rotten, so those are cast. But the fall registration is open, and I'm going to open class registration for the fall relatively soon.
Okay. So some exciting things to come.
That's awesome.
And actually, probably our strongest season that we've ever had, which is exciting.
Oh, cool.
Show wise,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Did I wear you guys out?
No. This has been so fun. It's been so exhilarating and invigorating and all
that. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having us.
And I'm serious about doing like a part two because I want to know.
Great.
Because nonprofit's like its own thing.
It's its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That we're still getting like used to and finding new things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning new things.
It's like the opposite of acting.
Certainly.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to have us back, we would love it.
That would be so fun.
This has been a joy.
All right. Say the website one more time.
BeaconPerformingArtsCenter.com.
And
the phone number, because these guys never...
845-350-BPAC.
Nice.
Which is 2722.
But we're really active on Facebook and Instagram.
Is that the place to get you guys?
Instagram especially.
Oh, okay.
Yep, Beacon Performing Arts Center.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you guys for doing it.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye everybody.
Bye.
And did I get everything? Did I forget anything?
No, that was great.
Time to hit stop.
It was perfect.
There's still time. We're good? All right, bye everybody.